Do you have my packet?
I do.
Okay. Thank you.
I got one. I'm good.
All right. Jerry, could you put your phone on mute, please, unless you're talking?
I started talking.
That was for Jerry. Thank you. Better. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order, the Ruby Star Air Park Property Owners Association Board of Directors meeting. It's Tuesday, February 21st. We are in Jerry Haynes' hangar. Thank you, Jerry, for allowing us to use your place. Really appreciate it. It is 6:12. We are running late because we have a little bit of a snafu. We have board members in person are Wendy Magris, Ken Spaulding, Pete Stugstill. Jerry Hain is joining us by phone. John Thompson is here. Holly Bennett, Holly Smith and Jay Bennett are here. And Alan and Teresa Williams are also here. And Barry DeSimone is on the phone. Okay. Barry, can you hear?
Yes.
Great. All right. We're going to go ahead and start with the agenda. Hopefully you've all received that. Just so everyone knows, we are recording the meeting. There was a suggestion made by Holly previously to record the meetings and put them on the web to help keep property owners informed. And so we are recording, and we're going to vote later in the agenda on whether that seems like an appropriate thing, but I didn't want to lose out on a meeting. Okay, so we're to the association member comment period. Comments are welcome, 3-minute limit. If it has to do with something on the agenda, I ask that we hold it till the appropriate agenda time. So would anyone like to say anything? Okay. So the next item on the agenda is to review and approve the January 17th board minutes, which we have reviewed via email, and they are here in front of us. I would move that we approve these minutes as written.
I'll second.
Is there any discussion or any concerns on these minutes? All in favor of approving the January 17th meeting minutes?
Aye.
So that's unanimous.
Can I ask, when did you approve them by email?
We didn't approve them by email.
Oh.
They were just reviewed by email.
Oh, okay. And why couldn't that practice be resurrected so that the emails could go out sooner? Because that's what we did, was we always passed them around and approved them by email, so that they could go out within 2 weeks.
That's a longer discussion.
I mean, I don't need an answer right now, but
yeah,
unless it's yes.
We've considered it and felt it wasn't worth the 2 weeks, you know, that...
Yeah, but you know what went on in the meeting and we did. But perhaps
the recording will help with that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we'll move now to the treasurer's report. If John can provide us with an overview.
Okay, January 31st, there was just under $35,000 in the operating account and about $14,500 in the reserve account. In the next board meeting, I'd like to put an analysis together to see if it warrants moving any monies from the operating account to the reserve account. Typically, what I... is my own ballpark, and this is my own personal, is about 3 months of operating expenses is probably a good, prudent amount to retain in the operating account should a meteor come down and strike the air park. So I think we're a little bit over that right now, so I think it may warrant consideration of moving some funds into the reserve account to bolster the reserves. But I'll have a better presentation in the next meeting.
When they go into the reserve, is it difficult to pull them back out?
They typically want to use reserves, and you probably know this better than I. But,
we never had a reserve.
Typically, you want to use the reserve account for replacements of fixed mm-hmm. assets or major renovations. Mm-hmm. And so what that allows the association to do is keep some funds around for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm. But would a $38,000 paving be considered a major?
It would.
Yes.
And that would come out of the reserve account.
Okay.
Just about every major paving project has come out of the reserve account.
Okay.
All right. I have to keep it rolling.
Good.
All right. Keep going.
As far as operations for January, the operating results were pretty much as expected, with the exception we didn't incur the insurance premiums that we had budgeted for January for the liability directors and officers. Insurance that came in February, so it was just a timing difference, but the amounts were just about the same. So the only timing difference we have in the month of January is for insurance premiums, and that'll be caught up by February.
Okay.
And that's all I have for the financial presentation.
Do you go through the expenditures, or is there a report that you can pass out?
I provide the board members a complete financial statement.
Okay.
That provides.
We used to read the checks at the board meetings of what was the checks that were written, since there's so few.
I'm happy to do that if you like. The checks were written that were check number 69 to Trico Electric for $18.13, check number 70 to Adam LLC for $496.61 for management fees and ancillary charges. Check number 71 for Glenn Ballard. That was for $6 for reimbursement for postage. Check number 72 was to Carolyn Goldschmidt. That was for legal costs for $106. And then check number 73 was to Regal Aviation Insurance. That was for the runway insurance. That was for $1,100, which is right on budget.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Any questions from the board on the financial statements? I move that we approve the financial report as provided.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Jerry, you there? Okay, thank you. And for the property owners, John distributes the financial statements ahead of the meeting, so we've had a chance to look at it mm-hmm. ahead of time and ask questions.
Okay. And it's attached to the minutes most times.
What was passed out?
This whole package isn't passed out to its debt.
This is here. This is mine.
That's yours.
That's
these
mine.
Are board member packages that have.
I just want to privileged. Know what they got.
They have the agenda.
They got just the agenda.
That's right.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have a number of requests that came in from folks to discuss certain topics. Okay, so under old business, there's four items, the first of which is the CCNR's committee creation. As I talked last time, we did meet on the CCNR's about a month ago and agreed that we would have a committee to rework the CCNR's.
When you say who?
There was a meeting with Alan, Teresa, Ron, Barry, me,
okay.
It was a requested meeting, which we just mm-hmm. did. And we agreed on kind of
what we were going to go forth with, and then I presented that to the board last month, and the board agreed to go forward in that manner. And since then, we've been trying to get a committee meeting together, and not very successfully, I must say. So I put out another suggestion today for 10 o'clock on Friday. I know you countered for 1 o'clock on Friday. That's fine with me. It'd be nice to set a time if we could.
Yeah, that's...
I was kind of hoping to hear back from Ron Alegria, because I know he works nights, but 1 o'clock would be better for me.
Okay. Would you like to give him a call? He called me the other day, meaning to talk to you, Teresa, actually. I was like, well, no. You got Wendy, sorry. So anyways, if you wouldn't mind, because I don't have very good luck.
I sent him a text earlier. I don't either.
Yeah, okay.
But I did send a text to him and ask him if 1 o'clock would work for him.
Okay.
You know, because it would be better for me.
So I'd really like to do that. I sent out a draft update to the CCNRs as well that I thought captured kind of what we heard in the comments back on the CCNRs.
Did it go to?
Mm-hmm. I thought it went to you guys.
Okay, well,
I'll check.
Is that time good for Barry?
Barry replied that 10 o'clock was good, and I don't think he replied to your counter.
But is he on there now?
Yeah, he is. Barry, is 1 o'clock on Friday okay?
1 o'clock is fine.
Okay.
And where are we having it?
I think at the Williams's.
Oh, okay.
And this is an informal meeting?
This is a committee, a CCNR committee meeting. Okay. Jerry, is 1 o'clock on Friday good for you?
Yeah, that'll work for me.
Okay, great. That's looking like a pretty good time. So let's plan on that. And I would really like for everybody to have looked at the draft before we come in so that we have our pet peeves and we know what we want to work on, because walking through the whole thing could be a little... We'll get tired before we reach the controversial stuff. I'd rather hit the controversial stuff first and make some decisions that way, and then go through the whole document once we kind of are level set on what we all want to see in it.
Could Jay come also? Or
I think you get too many people and then it gets more difficult, but
I'm sure he is.
Jay, you can go in my place.
I do plan also, as soon as we have something that we feel, you know, it may not be polished, I'd like to send it out to all the property owners so that everybody can feedback. But there's no reason you can't share either. Mm-hmm. I just think you get too many people in a room and all of a sudden we're not making forward progress. But I'm open to...
So let's just say me and Holly get together and we do it.
And Barry.
Well, that's not.
We got it covered.
We'll have it done by Sunday.
I've already sent out a draft a week and a half ago and got no feedback, so let's be realistic.
This is John, the manager. My humble experience with this is that it ends up, the biggest thing we want to try and avoid, if we can, is iterations. Iterations will bog this thing down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we should make a list based on the draft, which I think covered the things that we talked about previously, and see if there's any sticking points there and address those first.
Okay.
Yeah, get something the committee is very comfortable and happy with before it goes out to the rest of the association members.
Okay.
And make that, just try and make that one iteration the final.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you guys have any further thoughts?
I have one comment.
Yes.
Yeah, for the CCNRs, we need to make sure we know which items are a requirement to be changed and which ones are optional to be changed.
Yes.
The things that we need to bring it in accordance with statutes and laws and whatever, those are requirements. We need to make sure that those items are noted as such. That's all.
Okay.
When was the last update of the statutes? John, do you know that?
They're continually updating as far as statutes for homeowners associations. We have no new statutes for this meeting. The last time the statutes were updated were August of last year.
Okay.
And it addressed primarily violations.
Yeah, that was a lot of what Carolyn had updated, was that whole enforcement side of things.
So,
and that was that was an area that a lot of people didn't like, but those are the statutes.
Yeah, concurrent with the CCNR's update, then we have a draft of the rules and regulations that we'll be updating once when the CCNRs are passed, and that'll be floated quickly afterwards.
But we're not part of the planning community. I'm so confused with this.
We are part of a planned community. We're not a condo, condominium subdivision. Okay, for those on the phone, sorry you're not getting the popcorn. thank you. All right, the next topic is common area and road maintenance update. It's time. It's getting to be spring, and spring is springing. So I would like to spend a bit of time in this discussion kind of planning out what we're going to do for the next, you know, 3-4 months. We've kind of gotten into a cadence over the last few years of the things that need to get done. So that's kind of the annual stuff. And then there's a couple of special things that Ken has been working on as well. The runway, you just got the new bid.
And I have that bid included on page 8 of your handout.
Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to look at that yet, but do you want to say a few words about that?
The bid?
Mm-hmm. What it's for, just for everybody to...
It parrots the same curbing style that was done along the entrance on Riviera Park Drive, and also on what Magnum did over the 5-foot drain that diagonally cuts across the runway. It's a curb, concrete curb.
For the runway, right?
1 foot, yes. It's what I'm saying is it's in the same style design as what those are. We went out and marked the areas that are starting to drop off from the erosion from the rains. And Gilbert came out, measured them out, came up with 1,100 lineal feet of curbing. And it's broken down on that proposal to see. He came up with a bottom line of $22,000. Further discussion with him, he can come down to $20,000 off that amount. Just for comparison's sake, that equates to about 41 cubic yards of concrete. It's a lot. It would have rebar in it, same as what they did out here on Riviera Park Drive. It is not the entire length of the runway by any means, but as we see additional erosion, it can be, same style can be added on. So
I was a bit surprised, but how long the last time I looked, it was just a small area.
It was small, and when I measured it out last summer, I didn't have a lineal foot on it, but I saw my marks for where they were and how they have grown along the edge of the runway, where it's starting to drop off more and the erosion is going down. In some areas it started to cut underneath the asphalt, which is starting to break out. This also, they saw cut along the edge of the runway to get a nice even cut. Form it, rebar it, bring the concrete trucks in, and they finish it. They do finish the whole thing. So to get cheaper, I don't know. I really don't know. We went with 1 foot by 1 foot. That was less than I think what they've done up here. Protect the edges of the line.
Does Guillermo do this type of work?
Gary does do this type of work. He did come out last summer. He did measure it. He never gave us a bid. So at that time, he was going to allow or credit us for $1,500 for the sweeper. They haven't heard from him. I have not called him. I felt if he wanted to work, he would have called us or made contact. So I guess I can chase him just to see if he's still, by chance, interested. But it would be more.
So I have a question on this. When Magnum put... So we were having this problem, you know, like you said, where it was cut across the runway. And Magnum came out and did it for us for free. They fixed it for free as part of kind of a warranty on the runway. But I don't think they put rebar in there, did they?
I don't think they did. They did up here, though. On the
That's a more significant
curve.
On
the crossovers. rebar is the right thing to do if you're going to make a curb.
Yeah,
I mean,
it'll crack the right way.
Kind of a given.
Do you know where that area we're talking about, or is it the whole runway?
It's in different areas.
And is it going this way? Is it the bank?
The water has come off.
Right.
And it's dropped down, and it's starting to drop down into the dirt alongside,
right.
And then it's making rivets going all the way down the side. And what happens is that thing starts curling under, you start losing the embankment of
the
it.
The soil,
and it starts breaking.
Almost like in the first year or the first month.
Yeah, and they came in and fixed it
in
one area,
so,
and we're getting more of it. So what I don't want to, like...
I mean, I'm just curious about the difficulty of doing cement that is not...
What I'd ask is that anyone who's interested in helping, go out and look at the situation and then come back with ideas. I mean, I know Jay's like the
expert. We talked about spraying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jay did some investigation.
Yeah, I remember.
Soil stabilizer for the whole entire room. That was like $80,000.
Yeah, it was very expensive.
But it did the whole room, both sides.
The option to this is, well, as far as an option is, the north side's the worst. You know, we can say, all right, do half of it this year, half of it next year, because we've got other things that, in addition to the edges, we've got cracking going on in the runway, which needs to be sealed. We do not have a bid on that. We can get people in to take a look and give us a bid. There's cracking at both ends of the runway. Rains come, they get down inside, and it spreads that apart. So if that can be stopped, you know, within the year, it'll probably be the best.
How are the weeds?
On the runway?
Yeah.
They're under control.
Okay. And how is that? I mean...
We'll get to that. That's kind of our annual
discussion. So the rest of the runway is starting to show signs of... need of a coating. I mean, we spent, what was it, 2014. We spent over 7,000 gallons of liquid emulsion and spread it out. And it's starting to show in a lot of areas. And we went over that runway three coats in a lot of areas, so.
On that, Ken, I was looking at it. There's certain areas, you know, like the run-up area that gets more use that's worse. Does this make any sense to do
the
parts?
Runway, the actual, if you recall, we did the both ends of the...
we did under the numbers.
The numbers, underneath the numbers before they were put on, prior to doing the big 7,000-plus gallon spread. That was done just to get the numbers down. And then we came in later and did that. So a lot of those areas are still pretty decent, but it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, whether you got a good coating or not. But, I mean, just I know what happened when we went down with that liquid. I mean, it was pretty thick. It was wet. And there were several coats being put on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but talking with talking with Guillermo, talking with Guillermo from the asphalt company, he said that, you know, you get 3 to 4 years out of that stuff, you're doing pretty good.
Out of the coating?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a protector. Mm-hmm. You know.
What protects is the time that, of year to do it? When was it done last time?
We did it in November, December. We did the big job in November, December, in the cooler times of the year.
Okay, so there are a number of projects that need help, and we need to prioritize them. You were also going to get a bid on the rip wrapping that Guillermo never came back. And
that's right, and I'm working on that. I've got some preliminary numbers, but I need to get some square footage amounts that are needed. Go 1.5 a square foot up to 2.5, I think, a square foot. 2.5 would be setting them in concrete. It's been told to me that for the riprap that you want to take and try to set the bottom in concrete, and then you can go up with the sides going up, and I think along Lost Emerald, going up past the Williams home, up their property up there. And then further on up across from Taylor's, there's another area. And if anybody knows of anything else on riprap that's needed, let me know. But those are the two areas we want to hit. So once I get I've asked Gilbert to give me a bid on that. He's going to get a hold of the fellow that does it. I've got a preliminary amount per square foot. I don't know what the material or how much material is going to cost. Carl's agreed to take and use the backhoe on it. We can absorb that with the HOA on the cost for the backhoe if that's going to be needed, or if the contractor will provide their own equipment. So we'll see where that goes.
Okay. I'm not sure we're ready to make any motions on this stuff yet. I think we need more information. I'd like to go see the runway myself.
Yeah, and it's clearly marked. It's the third time I've been out there with marks, hoping these guys are going to come out, and finally Guillermo came out, or Gilbert came out. They're marked along the edges. You can walk along and you can see them where they're marked. Like I said, from last summer to now, it's growing.
Okay, thank you for that. Then I want to hit the annual cleanup. So typically, and help me out here, we usually in March, we get the mower, we rent it, mow the whole place, and then we hit the herbicides afterwards. And every year it feels like we're scrambling at the last minute to try to find people to do this stuff. So I'd like to start the discussion now and kind of have a plan.
I personally think that if the edges are hit again with the herbicide, with a Roundup, not the other stuff that requires the water or the rain,
mm-hmm.
what you guys did last time. It looks to me, it looks pretty good. I mean, if we can do it again, I think you can eliminate that tractor and bush hog.
I didn't really look at it to see if it's actually growing.
It's
substantially
greenish is starting to pop here and there. So, I mean, it may be the right time to think about it.
Yeah.
Well, now would be the time to just do the Roundup as opposed to the soil sterilant. That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
kill the green stuff that's coming back.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the rain.
And that
now.
Stuff is pretty cheap. It's the labor that's the tough stuff. And I want to hit the fence line, too, because since we did the fence cleanup, we never went back and did the herbicide on the fence line.
Hmm.
And it's starting. I walked out there the other day, and it's starting to grow.
That sprayer's got a 50-foot hose on. I don't think you need to be right up on next to the fence line. Just take and park it and walk back 100 foot at a time. It's done.
So my question to you, Pete, is Luke going to be around, and would he be able to do...
Yeah, I mentioned it to him. I said, it's almost time to start spraying again, and he didn't grumble too much. So.
Well, I heard he was going up to Alaska, so has that changed?
Well, yeah, everything's... flux here, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But his Alaska trip was basically just to go up there and drop out some resumes, talk to some people and stuff like that. He was only going to be gone for a week.
Okay.
Okay, that was. But now we've got too much going on. I can't spare him, so he's got to stay put.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't expect any interruptions in being here until probably May, 1st of May. And we'd probably like to get that thing sprayed here pretty soon.
Yeah, I personally would like to have him do it. Because he knows what to do. He's trained now. It's like so easy now if he could do it.
Yeah, and he understands. He's got the speed down pat and stuff like that. So, yeah, I would say that we can do that.
Is now a good time?
It's going to have to be 2 weeks.
Well, is 2 weeks the right time for the farmers and the
grapes? Grapes have to be grown.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They'll be green and grown.
Okay.
Because
2 weeks would be better than, huh?
Did I understand that you are going to spray along the state land? The fence line?
On the fence line. We're not going to go into the state land.
Yeah,
but even the fence line itself.
That's our land.
How do you the vapors from going across?
What?
How do you spray right up next to the fence but not get across?
We've got a spray bar. That's for a good part of it.
You got a spot sprayer.
And then we have a wand.
There's a spot sprayer on the plus the wand. Or wand plus the boom. So it's either or.
I always heard it.
What are you using?
They don't allow you to spray.
Yeah.
Jerry, we'll probably use my Ranger again. I don't think we have any vehicles that are, you know, small enough and they can go that slow without overheating or something. So, you know, the Ranger's fine.
So can we go ahead?
Yeah, the tractor only overheats when it's running the mower. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's next month.
So... this is part of our budget, so we don't really have to do any motion or anything like any resolution, but I just want to make sure we're all kind of agreed that it's in about 2 weeks is a good time to do this.
I'd rather see the sprayer used to its cost that we spent than doing the bush hogging, you know?
Yeah.
If we can. If it saves a bunch.
Oh, yeah. That would save $3,000 to $4,000. No, $3,000. Okay, so I will go ahead and, unless one of you guys is going down to Tractor Supply, I can go ahead and get the stuff. If you can
just give me a list of what we need, you know, we'll just get it.
Okay, that'd be great.
I don't know what the stuff was. I'm sure it doesn't remember either.
I have to go look up what we used. We had emails that we...
I've got a full container of it. From my place.
Ah, the same
stuff? I think it was $100.
It wasn't that expensive.
Yeah, they had some other kind he was putting out. He said that everybody uses it with good results. And I guess it's all right. I haven't used it yet.
Okay, so I'm going to give herbicide info to Pete. And you will try to get Luke to get it done in 2 weeks. Let's say by mid-March.
You want to talk about the common area?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything to talk about the common area?
Not that I know of.
I don't think we're going to move on the common area until the CCNRs are approved.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It's kind of where the cog in the wheel is.
Is there somewhere that I can look to see what the plan is for this... for the common area?
There is no plan yet. I mean, I sent you the last thing from Dan, right?
Yes, right. The report that was done last year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Okay. I mean, I keep seeing common area, common area.
We just keep it on the agenda, but we're not doing much on it. It's more, we really need to hit the business side of it, right? How are we going to fund it? It's not about what the exact structure is right now. It's more about how do we fund it.
From if this went out, did this go out to everybody on
the... That went out with the annual minutes.
But a complete overview needs... Where we're at is a complete overview needs to be presented to the board to include a master plan. The total costing with minimum of the air park dollars, different revenue options, potential investors, design options, reliable cost estimate for future users.
But is... Right,
we've
now,
been delaying it.
Yeah, but don't we need to get that illegal loan paid off first?
I'm letting that ride. That's not high on my list to stir that pot.
Yeah, but we have no assets to go into deeper debt.
We have no assets to pay off the loan.
We're
either.
Not proposing more
okay.
debt.
Alrighty. Okay.
It's more about bringing investors in who will shoulder the debt and get something out of it while Ruby Stargets.
Did Barry make a presentation, or is he going to make a presentation?
He has on previous
Barry?
Meetings.
See there?
Yeah. Barry, still there?
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Holly's asking about, are you making a presentation about the common area, or what is, I'm confused, as unusually so.
Are you talking to Barry or Jerry?
Barry.
I don't know Barry.
I'll shut up.
Oh. They all sound the same, don't they?
Barry, maybe I have his phone muted.
Is he still connected?
But yeah. You know what?
Okay.
This
Barry's still.
Okay.
You're talking history, and that's better done outside of the meeting.
Okay.
So we haven't been doing much on the common area.
Barry's still. The phone's still going. Barry, you on?
He's eating his spaghetti or something.
He may have it muted.
Yeah, this is Barry.
Hey, Barry. So Holly was asking some questions kind of about where we were with the common area, but I'm suggesting that perhaps you could call her and bring her up to speed on what's been going on.
Yeah, we can talk on Friday.
Yeah, Holly, I'll be home in the morning. Call me in the morning.
I have appointments, actually, but...
You guys will sort it out.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Good idea.
Okay. The next... Was that it on common area and road maintenance? Is there anything I'm missing about... our spring cleaning that needs to happen.
When you're going to burn the bonfire.
Yeah.
You have to get a permit for that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we have. Ken's taken care of that in the past. We also are starting to look at pulling some trees because they're... Several years back, we had landscapers who came in and they were keeping the roadways clear. Well, now it's been long enough that some of the trees are actually starting to infringe in the roadways. And so we need to be pulling those out, and it turns out that it's fairly easy with the backhoe. So,
are those trees that are growing in the common area?
Not in the common area, along the roads in the easements, because, you know, the airplanes have to taxi along the road, so there's there's 25 feet that has to be kept clear.
So they're not owners' trees?
They're on property owners' lots, but there's an easement for maintenance on those lots.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Freeport. Well, we continue to fight the battle. I guess the latest news, I'm just going to say since last month, the things that have happened. We did get an appointment with Senator Flake's office and met with the Southern Arizona district person. That was last Monday, I think. And we had with us, Carl Taylor went with Mike and I. We also had Bruce Elam and Taryn Mooney, who live along McGee Ranch, basically. We wanted to show that it's not just Ruby Star, it's the whole community out here that's being impacted by the mines. That went rather, well, it went well, but who knows that anything will come from it, right? She listened very well, and we gave her a lot of materials, and she told us that she would give the materials to her policy person, who was going to decide if this is something they want to attack. So that's where we left it, and she agreed to get back to us. I forget when she said she'd agree she would get back to us. So that happened last week. It took quite a while. Mike spent a lot of time trying to get that appointment, and it was good. The other thing I did, Jerry, you had recommended this town hall for Martha McSally. I did get on the line for that. It was a teleconference town hall. Turns out you get on the phone, and if you want to speak, you press star 3, which I did immediately. I was on the phone early. And then eventually somebody comes on the phone and asks you what you want to talk about. And then apparently there's some kind of prompter for the congresswoman to call on people or whatever. We didn't get called. I think there was a lot of
conflict on that too.
Okay, it was all about how do you feel about Trump, really? So that we were just a little pea in a pod, I think. And so, they didn't call on us.
A letter that went to Grigiola.
Oh, and yeah, we also recently, well, that was in December, but we met with Congressman Grijalva early last year, and we've had numerous conversations with him. He's definitely on our side, and we've been working with him to get a letter to the Army Corps of Engineers to put his sentiments out, and he did that. But then we wanted to get back with him and see if there's anything else that he could do, because he's on the environmental board. He's on the board that affects mining in Congress. And so we wrote him a letter signed by all the board members, I believe, requesting another visit, and he still hasn't responded, and I need to call him soon, see if we can get back with him.
This is the state level.
No, this is Congress.
Congress.
No, this is
U.S.
U.S. Congress.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and when I said Senator Flake, that's U.S. Senate. Oh. Yeah. That's right, you're from Iowa.
Yeah.
And McSally, another congresswoman. So we're remaining in. I'm also working with the local, with the Sowarita Town Council and the Green Valley Council. I've recently finally been able to find the new. Turns out Green Valley is run by by a council. It's not a town, so it doesn't have a mayor and all that, but it has a council. And they have all these subcommittees. They have an environmental subcommittee, which is how they fought Freeport in the first place with their contamination of the groundwater. So I've been trying to find an inroad into them, and I finally did, and we had a conversation actually earlier this week, and I've sent her a bunch of materials. And so we're going to get together and talk about how we can join forces more. So there's that. And then this morning I met with Freeport themselves, with Colette Brown of Freeport. Turns out that a few of the people who we've talked with in the past are no longer there. And in fact, I guess they've been laid off. They said, yes, they did downsize a bit, blah, blah, blah.
Starting over with them again.
What?
Starting over with those guys again.
Starting over? No, I've been talking with Colette.
The people that you talk to aren't there anymore.
Yeah. So Colette's been there for about a year or so. And I've been, she's the community representative. But she's a little more than fluff. She actually understands mining. She's an environmental engineer. You know, you talk to them, they're nice, but
she's still employed by the mines.
She's employed by the mines. She's there to passivate us, you know. So the things we went over was the status of the expansion permit. They're still awaiting several reports. I guess you guys went to the open house that they had in December that we couldn't go to. She said, oh, they went over this in great detail. And she gave me these charts that apparently they had talked through. So there's still about four sub reports that haven't been completed. And she's thinking that the Army Corps is not going to approve until the end of the year. And they're not going to start. And then in 2018, because I want to know, what's the timeline of all this? What are they going to be doing? So they don't expect approval until the end of the year. Before it was supposed to be like around now, they thought they were going to get approval.
Right.
And then
they, meaning the
mines,
getting approval to do
the
what?
Permit approval.
Right.
Yeah. So she said early 2018, they felt that the first thing they're going to do is move that wash. Yes.
Who has to approve their permit?
The Army Corps of Engineers.
Okay.
Which, I'll say a few words about that, because the Army Corps, their sole reason for being in all of this is they are the protectors of the waterways. So they only care about the water. And so that's part of our beef, is this isn't just about the water. This is about affecting, you know, air pollution. It's about affecting livelihoods. It's about the health of all the residents. You know, it's more than just the water.
So they would never say it's no help to you.
Well, no, we've done lots of letters to them. And the other thing we've done is we've got the U.S. EPA on our side. They've written two letters now to the Army Corps saying, we would not approve this. We feel that more study needs to be done, and they really feel an environmental impact study needs to be done, which is, every time we go in and talk to anybody, the only thing we say is, Freeport has a right to do business, but an environmental impact study needs to be done to understand all the impacts to all the aspects. Mm. So that's kind of our standing line, because the minute you go in there and say, oh, we want to shut Freeport down, they don't want to talk to you. So it's like, how do we come up with a solution that allows people to live healthily, and yet they can do the business?
Who's the final decision maker?
The Army Corps. The Army Corps. And they don't have to listen to the EPA. So the EPA is firmly on the side of doing more study, that they haven't done sufficient work. Mm-hmm. However, they are, all they can do is offer their opinion to the court. But, we've got these letters, and you show them to people, and they go, oh, my God, you know. So what we want to do is cause this uproar and say, the EPA, you know, if they're saying we shouldn't be doing this, let's find out another way.
T-shirts on the...
yeah, we could do that.
Like Rosemont did?
That's in a nutshell. So that's why we've been meeting with all the federal people, because they're the ones that can call the Army Corps, because they're all federal.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is it's for overburden?
For the overburden, yes. And I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but it'll come right up to McGee Ranch Road. Mm-hmm.
The overwash?
Overburden.
Well, the wash will be right up against the road, but right next to the wash. So within a 1,000 feet.
Is there a wash now, but it's just further in?
Yeah. It's yeah.
Okay.
And
then
run
it by the gate all the way down to the... I think I heard what you said, that, you know, they said that they had other people who had to do studies. Is that what you were just referring to?
No.
Okay. Because there are. Arizona Game and Fish has to provide an input to the Corps on endangered species, for instance. I'm going on too long on this. I also asked, I asked for a timeline of events. And so the first thing they're going to do is from where the wash is now to where it's going to be, they have a bunch of infrastructure. So they're going to start moving that infrastructure out of the way. And they think that's going to take about 2 years to do. And so then the blasting of the new wash is going to start in 2020. Is what they think if this gets approved, which it looks like it's going to get approved. So then, you know, the whole chemical odor thing, that's been going on forever. They have been saying that they have spent $2 million trying to track this thing down, and so my big thing is, show me the report. You know, you spent $2 million, I'm sure that company wrote you a report. And so...
is this for the odor?
Yeah, just for the odor. So she says it has been submitted to PDEQ, which makes it a federal makes it a public document, which means we can request it with the federal FOIA or whatever. Federal Freedom of Information Act. Yeah. FOIA. Yeah. Okay. And blah blah blah. So we'll be getting that sometime soon. Then the last thing I wanted to do was start making a stink about our property values and lack of ability to sell. And so we just started that conversation. There was no, with Freeport. Look, your mine is causing people to come over here and say, what's going on over there, and then we have to disclose, you know, the expansion and everything else, and it's driving our property values are zero now because we can't sell. So that is, I just wanted to start that conversation, and she's going to take that conversation back to corporate.
The Colette is?
Yeah. We can't do ultimatums or anything, so, I mean, I just wanted to express our concerns.
They were here first, though.
No, they weren't.
Weren't they? Denny bought this?
They did not own the land up to the road.
No, but the mine was still here.
The mine was there, but it was much farther away. What they do, and I'm going to say this and then I'm going to get off the mine. What they do is they mine, they put their stockpiles, and then the people right there can't live there anymore because they keep blasting and all the dust and the backup beepers and everything else. Mm-hmm. And eventually the mine buys them out. Then they move. Mm-hmm. They own the land, so they just keep rolling. And it's been this rolling way for 50 years. That's what they've been doing, and now they're at our doorstep. Mm-hmm. If this gets approved. So, I mean, the best thing, and we told her, look, if you can find some other way, we're not going to hassle, you know, but we want you to have your business, but if it's right in our face, it's going to affect our health and our property values, and that's not acceptable.
And
so
the odor
was,
and the pollution is not the biggest threat to us, it's the silicons.
The whole ball of wax is just unacceptable to live right next to. Like the Elims are doing right now. We've got pictures of their grandparents' headstones, and they're practically covered with the stockpile. You know, it's just... Anyways. I didn't know that would be... So, that was the meeting today, actually, on the mine. So that's enough of that. The next item on old business is facilitating mortgages due to the water issues. There's really no water issue. It's the regulatory issue. So I have met with a couple of banks so far. I met with I met first with Washington Federal?
Federal.
Yeah.
Washington Federal.
Yeah, it turns out, I didn't know this, Washington Federal is now the only place in the area that does construction loans. I had thought there would be multiple places I needed to go talk to, but apparently not. They're the only ones that do construction loans. I went to Chase, and I said, because I thought, well, Chase wants to do these kinds of loans. I went to them. Oh, no, we don't do those anymore. We just do refis.
Wells doesn't?
No. So, yeah, Chase told us nobody but Washington Federal does it anymore. Now, there are some mortgage brokers that still do it. Sun Street. There's a couple in Green Valley, and that's next on my list of people to go harass. Go pick their brains. That's all I'm doing. I'm going in, picking their brains. How can we get over this issue? So the two banks I've met with so far, Washington Federal and Chase, explain the situation. Basically, I've asked them, can you write guidance so that we can inform buyers on how to get a loan? Because there are ways, and... it turns out that with the number of wells we have on the air park, it looks like it's going to be just fine because you have to have a well for so many people. You don't actually have to necessarily connect to it, but you have to show access to it. And
the electric's off.
The electric doesn't matter. If we ever wanted to turn it on, we could.
Yeah.
So
they have to be a registered well with the state of Arizona.
Yes. Yes, and so what we've done...
They don't have to be on the property that you're trying to build on or buy.
No, that's better if it is. I mean, that's a slam dunk. Yeah. If there's a well on the property, that's a slam dunk. You don't have to worry about anything. But if you have one next in the lot next door, you can post, you can site that well, and then what you have to do is in your construction plans... show that you're going to connect to that well. So,
so that sounds just a little bit fraudulent to me.
So I'm asking them to write it down, and I haven't gotten that yet. So,
So it was a nudge, nudge, wink, wink at this point.
Well, no, because
so
we actually have access.
What we might need to do is do a master plan of where all the wells are and how each lot can connect to each one. Just get that already done. can sell lots by showing that this lot has access to X well.
That's exactly right. So I sent Washington Federal a map with all the wells on it, and I'm waiting back to hear. She's going to go check on the number of wells, number of properties per well. And then what we'll do is we'll do a mapping. I've already started plotting it out, which lots go to which well, and then we'll record that with the county, with the property, so that when they pull the reports, they see it.
No.
No.
That doesn't matter. That's what they told me. They flat out told me it doesn't matter.
But then when you if you get a sale, you have to disclose we have access to a dry well.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
But what happened?
I would say we have access to a well, and it's documented in the county. The county records have what the flow rate is.
They do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I asked this question directly to two different, one was Washington Federal, one was another one that apparently no longer is giving loans here. But they both, I asked directly, do I have to prove how much water the well comes up? And they all said no. You just have to show access to the well.
Yeah. So there seems to be a path.
Ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah, that all may be true, Jerry, but if you don't disclose to your buyer that you have no idea if the well can produce anything, or if you have any information about that well, you damn sure better disclose it. Otherwise, that sale is going to go upside down. And the second question is, have we tested the air quality and the water quality ourselves? Can we say to potential clients that we've tested it for A, B, and C, and here's the results?
I have no idea. It's a good question, but I don't know. We could put that on the list to see where it lands.
I mean, I test my well for the water quality every couple of years, and I know what's coming out of my well, and I'm happy to disclose that to my buyer on my personal property.
Yeah.
We could do the same thing with air quality, I assume.
Well, no, air quality is, you have to know what you're testing for. That's what I'm learning is there are different tests for every different thing, and it's a big job.
Could the state not help you with that?
Okay, well, thank you for your effort, Wendy.
Yeah, let me, I'm going to write a note. I don't know where it falls and how, you know, how much time we all have.
Barry, this is Pete. I have a question for you. Barry? You still there?
Is he talking to me?
Yeah, Barry. This is Pete. Yes, sir.
Hello, Barry? This is Barry.
Hi, Barry. I don't know if you can hear me or not. Do you know if the new, I guess the new administration came in and did some modifications to the Dodd-Frank Act? Do you know, or has anybody talked about the possibility of that thing loosening up some of the requirements for writing loans?
My understanding of Dodd-Frank is somewhat, and I don't know that that's on the agenda. What they're probably going to roll back on Dodd-Frank deals with responsibilities of various parties, such as the banks, to amass a certain amount of security to secure their position. In other words, there was a firewall between the banking side and the investment side, and the primary goal of the rollbacks is going to be to reduce the firewall. I don't know that they're doing anything that's going to affect us, and I watch that market pretty closely.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so but
the bottom line is, if we can figure out what the most obvious chemicals are coming out of there, and that doesn't sound like it's an unsolvable problem, we could test the air quality for those, and therefore we could say to potential newcomers, we've tested it, this is what we found. And, we're not going to lie. And we could certainly test Ballard's well to see what chemicals are in it, or Pete's well, any well.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you, Barry. The other thing...
If we get permission from Ballard...
What?
If we get permission from
for Ballard, we can test the water from his well. We can't do it without his permission.
Right, right. Okay, one more thing on the air. Like I said, I did request that report from the Freeport people. That was $2 million, supposedly, of air testing. So I'm
so
hoping
Freeport
to get that.
Is going to give you a report?
Well, they've given it to the PDQ, and I'm going to get it from them.
PDQ, yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move on. I'm realizing it's 7:10, and we still have quite a bit to do. So Alan had asked to address the board regarding the horse business and an additional gate request. So the floor is yours, Alan.
Okay. Right. I think you added the horse business, but but that's fine.
It was probably in that one sentence that you gave me.
The additional gate thing is Gary Herman said that I could put a gate up over on his property.
Now, he's on McGee Ranch, right?
He is, in the state land corner.
Oh, he's in the corner?
He is.
Oh yeah, that's right, he is. Yeah, we wanted to make sure we got that easement there. Okay, it would go to the east.
Talking that, I prefer putting my gate back in that I had on Tom Mousley's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the big deal was with Tom, he didn't want to get into any kind of legal battle.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I could get you to write up a note and say it's okay with the board that I put a gate back where it was, it's more feasible there. It gets me out of the airport quicker. There's, like you said, in the business itself, you know, it said one of the worries is pooping in the road.
Yeah.
Well, it gets me out of the airport quicker. Mm-hmm. Less chance of poop.
Because poop matters.
And it, bottom line, it's not a security fence. It's not a security fence. It's a legal livestock fence, period.
Okay, I'm bored if you'd like to ask questions.
Well, you know, one of the things that I was always hoping we could do is we actually had a gate out on the state land, you know, each one of the fence lines. You know, we have the one that goes north, and we have nothing going west, and you guys wanted to go out the east here. But I thought the big problem we had was getting permission from the state to actually go onto their land from a gate from our property. Do you have any more information on that?
This, I've talked to the state. The state does not care how many gates are on their property.
Because I know that they're a little antsy about who can go on there. If you have an active hunting license, you see your hunting license,
then you can get a $15
or a permit or something like that. So, like I said, riding motorcycles and stuff, I've always wanted to go out there. I mean, we've got the tags, we got everything else, but, we got to go out here, and then we got to go three miles up the road here to get to the state land to get onto the state land.
Well, you can go north.
Well, north goes to the Twin Ponds, and that's it.
Goes that way,
then. And then it goes right to the ponds, and that's it. Everything else is, we have to track through the desert and stuff. But, I've always thought it'd be nice to have, access out of the airport for motorcycles, horses, and just whatever, to be able to go out mm-hmm. to the airport. It's an alternate gate in front if we were blocked or something.
So right now we do have one on the east. That's kind of the thing.
The northeast corner.
Yeah. That's that real. It's the corner of the property. Mm-hmm.
Which is great, and I continue to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind myself going across the runway with shoes on the horse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like for guests to have to do that.
But there's a dirt road that goes around the runway, right?
The east end, there's a corner that comes real close to a drop-off, and then there's a fence. So it's close, yes. We do stay off of the runway, but
mm-hmm.
not a guest. And I'll cut the corner of the runway, too.
Yeah.
But it's like 2 feet, 3 feet. It's a narrow little spot. It just makes no sense to keep me from having a gate there. None whatsoever.
What about the west side?
There is an opening in the fence on the west side.
There is. Mm-hmm. Where?
Oh, it's, yes, it's in all that.
It's close to the water
yeah.
tank.
Yeah,
it's been there for years and years and years.
Yeah, it's pretty run down.
Yeah, but I mean, it works. It
Gosh,
keeps
I didn't
gas.
Know it was there.
I use it a lot.
That's all state land there.
Yeah,
it is, but
part
it's
of
leased.
It, part of it
it's
is
leased.
It is leased.
Part of it is private, too. I'm not sure which part is private and which part is state. But it's all owned by Stompers. And Stompers
can that person speak closer to the mic?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jerry, can you hear?
Is it Jerry? Or is it...
I can hear about 95%.
Okay.
See, so midways on the south, I can go through the main gate. And then there's the opening in the fence goes over into the mine property.
Mm-hmm.
Midways on the north, there's the big gate. Midways on the west, there's the little opening in the fence. Midways on the east side would be nice to have one.
Jerry, do you have any questions?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Ken?
And it's only going to be used for you folks and your guests.
Well, once it's there, I think Pete just said that he
would
do this.
Everybody on the air park and guests would transit to leave them out.
Yeah.
And we could put a lock. Can we put a lock that's...
Well, Pete knows because Luke's built all kinds of little things down there among the rocks. There's some real good, you know, picturesque rock areas.
If you ever walked, ventured that way?
No,
should.
I never go that way.
You should.
Yeah?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Huh. So,
so in order
would we be able to have a lock with the same combo as we have on the other?
That'd be fine.
So you're proposing to basically to build a gate to the standard comparable to our fence line?
Well, just like Glenn Ballard said when we met one time before. He said, 30 minutes, you can have your gate back in. Because my posts are still there. It's being used to hold the fence up. So there's just a matter of...
Well, the big matter is to make sure that Losley agrees. Whatever the...
Yeah, right,
we have to
exactly.
vote on this and... But...
Yeah.
I think it'd be great to have a gate through our fence to get to the state land around here.
What would the gate look like? Would it look like what was there before? Would it look like the one that's in the corner?
Yeah,
except
that
the one
green.
In the corner is more square cornered.
Yeah.
The one that I put in was round cornered. I've got some old pictures of it. I mean, it was a substantial, perfectly good
swinging,
galvanized
swinging gate.
Swinging
yeah.
gate.
And it's like
yeah.
four bar or five.
So big enough to get a quad through, and
huh?
Yeah, it was. Actually, I think it was a 5 foot.
5 foot gate.
Well, I think like Wendy says, the big question is, Lonesley going to put that in writing?
Yeah, just and it would be simple, saying the board says it's okay.
Yeah, so we would have a vote
yeah.
here, and then saying that it, we. Approve putting a gate into the east side of the air park. Would you allow that gate to be put in?
Yeah.
On your property.
Yeah. That's what was there.
Yeah.
I never saw it. Back then.
Yeah. Yeah. I still got the gate laying against the house.
Okay, so that keeps cows out for sure.
Yeah. Jesus. Time to go down that road again.
All right. I'm going to go ahead. I move to allow the Williams to install a gate in the east fence. Location to be determined based on property owner approvals.
Based on
the location.
Owner approval, property owner approval.
Based on approval of affected property owner.
That would be Tom Lousley.
Or Gary Erman.
Or Gary Erman, or Bruce Bissett, or Pete Stocks.
Do you want to do, are you proposing two? Or just the one?
No,
just the one. I really don't want the one up here.
You'd rather have it where it was.
Way more.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or 1/8 mile. from our corner
and out.
There. And we're out. We're gone.
I didn't hear a second.
Well, you finished crafting your emotion?
Can you read that back?
Yeah, that's just motion made by Wendy to allow the Williams build a gate east side of the airpark, a location contingent on affected property owner's approval.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
May I ask what the mechanism would be to get the affected property owner's approval?
So...
happy to write a letter.
That would be awesome.
So if you can give me just a basic drawing of what it would look like in the back
picture.
Of a napkin or a picture. Let me give you my card. You can email it to and let me know which property owners are affected. I'll write them a letter with approval and we'll get it. We'll put the ticket.
How many feet?
You'll put me on distribution so that I can chime in and say, you know, this is all good.
Yeah.
So he knows. It wouldn't affect. Who owns on your side?
Okay.
Randy Wells? Wouldn't affect that part.
No, because that other gate is right there.
You got Bassett, you got Lonsley, and you got Randy Wells.
Yeah. It's about midway of Maxwell's properties.
All right. Very good. The next topic we had, are we all good? Do you have anything else you want?
As far as the horse business, I don't know that what's really to discuss.
That's what I recalled you wanted to talk about, so I must have gotten it wrong. Okay. We've been having discussions with Sandy on the fire suppression units that he's shown us, and we really owe him... an answer. The way I understand it, it was pretty...
Can the speaker come closer to the mic, please?
Oh, that was me. Okay. Yeah, so the next item on the agenda is fire suppression unit. So Sandy has been involved with this company that has these... I don't even know what you call them. They're fire extinguishers, basically. But they seem to be pretty good stuff. The chemicals as well as the implementation of how they work.
And these are fire suppression units that would be implemented somewhere in the common area for safety reasons?
Well, so that's part of the question. They're not very expensive, so the cost really isn't the issue so much as where we would store them, I think. I think they were $150 or something, and they could put out a pretty good fire.
I thought we were discussing some sort of system other than fire extinguisher. I thought it was going to be something that could actually be, you know, you could hook up to and take it someplace and actually fight a good-sized fire, not just a handheld fire extinguisher.
Well, this is it's more than a handheld. It was something you have to actually be on, like a golf cart or something.
Right. I never saw any real specs specifications on it.
I have it. So the question is, do we delve into it? I feel like we owe Sandy a response. And he's doing this in good faith because he truly believes it's a good deal. And it seemed like it to me, too.
Is it a home device to be
question.
Used in your home?
What?
Or is it something to protect the air?
For use by whom?
Oh, by the general population. So if a
fire
broke out,
fire.
Yeah, you would run, get this thing, and it could help.
Right. So it's more than just a handheld fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a trailer... fire suppression system. If you had a problem,
I think that's what it was.
And take it to where you need it.
I think they have variety of sizes, but I think what he was pushing was that exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. So if an airplane ends up parking unceremoniously upside down on the runway out here and catches on fire, we can go grab it and put the fire out. Or if a house catches on fire, at least it's something that we could slow the fire down until we had to go metro with it. I mean, it's more than just a...
It's more than a fire extinguisher, yes.
And he basically had a recommendation for which size to use, I thought.
Yeah, and I meant to bring all that with me, and I left it in at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're 10 miles away from the nearest fire station.
Mm-hmm. And it'd be nice to have something to, you know, at least slow stuff down. I mean, I'm just curious what the cost would be to us as a community.
Maybe we request from Sandy, I'm happy to write him a letter saying, I want you to put a proposal together as far as size.
He's done that already. So it's us that we haven't spent the time to really look at it.
You probably sent it to me and I don't recall.
Do we have it?
I have it.
Do you have a ballpark figure?
Of what?
Of what this piece of equipment costs?
I was impressed by how inexpensive it was. Less than 500.
Oh, less than 500?
Something like that.
Wow. And then
not for the trailer, but you know.
I wonder how long does that? You know, how long does it last? And,
right.
Yeah, what type of maintenance?
Okay, so I'm going to table this until I get my act together.
A website, if they have it. Would be more.
I have a DVD he gave me.
That'd be kind of cool if they have a website pulling up and look and see what this is all about. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for the AOPA thing that you were talking about doing, he said he'd be happy to do a demonstration, so you'd have fire. Everybody loves
brush,
you know, loves
fire.
Might be good to get that sooner rather than later, in case something from the CCNR committee spontaneously combusts.
All right, I'm going to move on. Okay, the next item... We're still talking over here, sorry. All right. So it sounds like there's plenty of interest. We need the facts laid out so that we can make a good decision. So I will work on getting that together with Sandy. The next item on the agenda had a lot of conversation recently about helping property owner participation in board meetings. And various ideas such as WebEx, taping, and that sort of thing. So I know that Barry has been working on putting something together, and I think he would like to try it out at our CCNR committee meeting, and I think that'd be great. Let's try that out, and if it works great there, then we can bring it back here and decide how do we pay for such a thing.
I volunteered at Barry said it was $49 a year or something. And
it's more the headsets for the people who are wherever they are.
But I thought you didn't have to have a headset, that it could come through the audio of your computer.
Okay, perhaps.
I don't know.
So, well, we'll test it out at the CCNR committee.
Okay,
Friday. Yeah, Friday. Yeah.
What? Okay.
Friday. So that was one method of increased communication that... you know, we're going to try and make work here, or at least understand better. The other thing Holly suggested was to just tape the stuff. Even though we don't do the detailed minutes, we can still post the recordings on the website. So that's something before, I don't want to make that decision on my own. I want the board members to discuss whether you feel that's an appropriate avenue, and John, if you have any comments from your experiences with other associations and whether that's a reasonable thing to be doing, I'd just like to have the conversation and then vote on whether we're going to do it or not.
All my other associations are fine with phone-ins. You know, if there's a lot of phone-ins, an association will invest in them. You know, one of those things looks like a spaceship, and it's
yeah, speakerphone.
You know, a speakerphone, and then you know, people call in, and that's as effective as very effective, and it's reasonable, it's cheap. As far as videoing and anything, I don't have anybody that's considered that.
Or the tapes.
Around the world very well.
Or tapes. So, yeah. Okay.
And those spaceships will hook up to cell phones as well.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Oh. That was the one thing that was holding me back from that. Is none of us have landlines anymore.
We tried them, but... We were calling Ken, and we tried it, and actually just using my cell phone calling you was more effective than the two
speakerphone
things that I bought from Amazon.
The ones we had at work worked really well.
Yeah, the one we have at the office is outstanding, and they've been around for years and years and years. They've got that technology.
But how much are they?
I don't know.
$200
But you need a landline.
And you need
but
to,
if you
well,
do
Jerry's
need,
saying
Jeff,
that you
if
don't.
If you don't need a landline, there it is. I've been on speaker phones in all parts of the world. Mm-hmm. Very clear.
You don't need a landline.
And
is that Barry?
Yeah.
You know.
But if we do the WebEx, that solves it, right?
You got.
Well, that.
Speakers, you got speakers that go all the way around.
I just have, yeah, I worry that we're going to have, but all of us sit, just, yeah, we're going to be sitting around with headphones on and looking at our computers instead of looking at each other and having a conversation. And so that,
I can see.
That kind of worries me.
But
it's not a, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying.
The headsets, though, could Barry answer that?
There are free conferencing. Facilities that we can use for the number of people that we're going to have calling in, and if we have one of the saucers, that should take care of it. WebEx is overkill.
Yeah, and I've always used the conference call thing, and it worked in the past, but people were saying that they couldn't hear well.
Well, sometimes
so it's
happens.
A good conference phone, that's not a problem.
Yeah. Teresa, do you have a...
I just feel like WebEx would, from what I understand... The meeting can be recorded. You can, you know, listen to it at your leisure. I feel like it might be more inviting to get more people to participate instead of having to be at home at a certain time, you know, to call in,
uh-huh.
to do nothing but listen in an ideal board meeting situation. But yet they could keep up with what's going on.
Uh-huh.
You know, at their leisure. I think it's a great idea for that.
So recording and then posting to the website?
Maybe. I don't know. I have to see how WebEx works.
Okay.
And, compare that with listening to a recording.
Like, does WebEx have video? What's
it does.
What's
that. It does.
Does video even get us anywhere?
I would prefer not to do the video because... Then who are you pointing at, right?
Yeah. Then I got to worry what I'm wearing this day.
Not to spill.
Yeah. Can't eat popcorn.
Can't chew.
What about GoToMeeting? Has anybody heard of GoToMeeting?
Well, so we have something called... I've done various ones, and I think they're all pretty much the same. Like, I used to use Same Time. There's a number of these...
they're all like WebEx? Or?
Yeah, they're all like WebEx.
I think the most important... For me, is to be able to listen to the meeting. Like I used to be able to listen when Mike recorded it, and I could fast forward, and it was really quite good.
Okay,
that's what's important, and that I agree with exactly what Teresa's saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I'd like to do is go ahead and. Vote on the posting of the recording, and then after we have the committee meeting, we can further discuss the WebEx.
Figure out how to get the recording. That's the problem. How do you get a good recording?
Well, hopefully this will work, what we
did
tonight. So we'll see. So
while we're on the subject, if I could just insert something real quick. Jerry, you know, you and I haven't had a chance to get together and teach me how to post things to the website yet. We're working on it. But as an alternative, we have a software company right next door to us. He does all of our own computer support. They build websites for us. They're $500 a pop. They take about 2 weeks to complete, and they're very user-friendly as far as updating. They're pretty slick systems and very reasonably priced. And then we manage the content after that. It's very user-friendly. So I'm wondering if, kick it around, Jerry, and think if it makes sense to...
I tell you what, first let's take a look at how easily you pick up managing the site, because it is pretty simple.
Okay.
And
all right.
Then, I'll have time this week to work with you on it.
I don't have time this week. But maybe next week.
Sure. I'm not sure when my next excursion out of Tucson is going to be, but I'm hoping it's going to be a little bit.
Okay, very good. So I move that we post meeting recordings for our board meetings.
I'll second it.
You can't. It's on your slacking off here.
I mean, I don't have a problem. It's all seconded.
So we've got a second, so now we can discuss it further. Okay, so why don't we hear what people's concerns are? Well,
what's the quality of it, first of all? Sign up or something. It's a piece of junk.
Yeah. Are you talking about WebEx, signing up for WebEx?
Either one.
No, I'm talking, we're only, the motion's only on posting recordings to the website.
To the website. Yeah, I mean, whatever if it comes out, if it comes out like a bunch of garble, and nobody's going to say, well, yeah, folks, what are you doing out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jerry, if we post on the website, can we see how many hits that thing takes with how many people listen to it?
I believe it does have the tracking for how many hits. I'll take a closer look at it.
Yeah, I'd love to know that.
Barry, do you remember if it was set up for tracking?
It is.
Hello?
Barry?
Yeah, Barry's not responding.
Barry? Barry!
Yeah, this is Barry. The question was, is there a hit count? And the answer is yes, I recall there was.
Very good. Thank you, Barry.
Did you get that, Jerry?
Yeah, I did. So we'll look at it and see if we can pull that information out easily, too.
Okay. Okay, so there's a motion on the table. Any further discussion on whether we want to try it?
Try it.
Just try it. I mean, it sounds like it'd be pretty boring to sit there for 2 hours and listen to what we've talked about. Jeez. But, you know, if it's important, then
delete.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Jerry?
Jerry there?
Yeah, I'm here.
We just took the vote. Are you in favor of posting video recordings to the website?
Audio recordings.
I'm sorry, audio recordings.
You asked for ayes. You didn't ask for nays.
Oh, I'm sorry. All against. I couldn't hear you.
I'm against.
You are against?
I'm against.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why?
Doesn't like it.
I'm only against it till we determine if this is something that is normal and is something that we should be actually doing. And if it is decided that that is something normal and it is something that we should be doing, which right now I think we probably should, but I want to make sure that we look and make sure we're supposed to be doing this. I don't mind doing it, but till I look at it further, I have to say nay.
Okay, well, the motion carried. I didn't hear any discussion. Did I not give you enough time to put your concerns forth?
It's kind of hard remote like this. I had to use my aviation headset to be able to hear y'all.
Okay.
Good through the cell phones. I'm in a noisy environment here.
Procedural.
So I'll look at it.
John, what do I do?
Let you know if I've changed my mind. It doesn't make any difference because it carried.
It carried.
Yeah.
So but what I'll be happy to do is I'll talk to our attorney and see if they have any suggestions or comments.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Because this is on a test basis.
Yes.
So we're still in test mode right now.
Beta.
Beta testing. Mm-hmm. Okay, the last item on new business is association-owned lots. So at the end of last year, our agreement with Barry as our realtor expired, and we have not actually had a discussion about where do we want to go from here. I've heard some comments from some board members suggesting that there are so many properties for sale in the Air Park that perhaps we leave the association lots off the market. There's not much movement right now anyways, and perhaps we just postpone. Or we could go ahead and continue to have them on the market. So I'd like to hear some discussion thoughts.
Or do you want to do a fire sale?
Yep.
Well, I think that this is Barry. This is Pete. You're probably more interested in this than anybody else at the moment. So I think that we have lots of properties for sale on the airpark right now. We also have a concerted effort being made to go out and find some sort of financing to build on the properties that we have. We also have some movement. You know, we got Jerry's just building a house here, completing that. We have Sandy building a house, completing that. We have my little operation starting to pop up and bring more people up to the airpark and stuff like that. It's been a long time since I was in real estate school, but it seems to me that we ought to go ahead and, since the properties aren't selling, just go ahead and take them off the market to reduce our inventory. And also, let's see what else is going on. I would rather sell the HOA-owned lots at a much higher price than for what a lot of the owners are actually selling their lots for. If it's something that's not going to basically make us money in the foreseeable future, I'm happy with just sitting on them and let them increase in value.
I think I agree. We've got a lot of irons in the fire to promote the airpark. Let's see what happens. Let's see where it goes.
Instead of I agree offer. As well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way. Until a few more things get understood, too, I think it's best to just hold on.
Yeah, and we're working with CCNRs. We're working with the quality issues, air quality, water quality, stuff like that. You know, obviously the properties haven't sold
right
recently, so, you know, we hold off for a little while longer. Plus then, we have a lot of people who, are desperate to get out of their lots here on the airpark already, so that just makes their lots more attractive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree. I don't think we need to vote on it.
No, just my 2 cents worth is, you do serve at the pleasure of the association members, and nobody, I'm not sure none of the association members would be very happy if the association-owned lots crowd them out of any deals, so...
Well, you know, and there's another part of this that we haven't talked about, and that's that the lots were intended to pay off the loan we have.
Exactly. They do serve as collateral, but the loan is 15 grand.
15 years, yeah.
Yeah, 15 years and 15 grand a year. So.
We're 5 years into it?
Or three,
five.
Four. I think we made 4 payments so far.
So we're 4 years into it.
Well, there's always that theory, you're not going to sell them unless they're listed, but... How much does it cost for us to relist them?
It doesn't cost except for time.
Time.
Time and showing them and...
Are we still at 75,000?
No. We're at 67.5, I think.
They're all different.
So many of them?
Not since Jerry's.
Maybe just one?
Another interesting point about the note is that...
Time is involved. Time is not a problem.
Each time when the lots are sold, you pay off a certain amount of principal on the note, but that does not forgive any of the current year principal. It defers future year principal and interest. And so, it's kind of like 15 years less whatever lots we sell is the length of the loan. So, you don't have a gun to your head to do this.
Also, if somebody shows up, excuse me, and says that, hey, I'm really interested in the lot you guys had it for sale once upon a time. Anything's for sale for the right price.
I don't see it happening anyways. That's the thing.
Yeah, most every lot in here, probably the majority of them, could be bought.
Yeah.
Everything can be sold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, reasonable. You take like Tom. Tom would sell his in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but there's no point in listing it.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what we've come to think.
Yeah.
So... All right, I think I heard all of us agree that we'll just leave them off the market for now, and we'll see how things go next year. Perhaps the board can revisit.
Yeah, let's market Ruby Star as a whole, not our individual lots.
Yeah.
Let's put the owners ahead of
the association.
Association.
Okay, I agree with that. Very good. That's all the topics that I have. Board, do you have any other topics that... we're pressing. All right.
Can I ask Pete a quick question?
Sure.
Barry said something to you about a rusty pilot.
Oh.
Workshop.
Yes.
Is that? If you got any word with that? Yeah.
Well, if I can give you an update.
Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, Barry found the.
You're welcome. I'm at 100%. So.
Are you talking to us, Jerry?
It's a high power, so it'll charge fast.
Okay. Hey, Jerry. Jerry, you're off mute. Okay.
What was that?
We can hear you.
Anyway, so Barry found on the AOPA website, it wasn't very well advertised, by the way, this thing called the Rusty Pilots Initiative there, where basically AOPA thinks that they can find people who have fallen off the pilot rosters to basically bring them back into the fold, and was willing to provide a speaker to some organization that wants to hold the seminar. So anyway, Barry told me about it. I thought it was a good idea. I got a hold of a friend of mine who, him and I have both worked in putting on many seminars with AOPA and FAST team and FAA and stuff like that over the years. And so I had him call AOPA, because he has the inside track with AOPA people. And he said that the only one currently scheduled in the state of Arizona is going to happen up there at Scottsdale.
Southwestern.
Yeah. And so what happened was... I'm sorry?
Where is it?
It's Southwestern. Southwestern up in Scottsdale.
Yeah, Scottsdale. So he asked if there was going to be enough time for us to actually hold one before May. And I kind of arbitrarily thought, you know, April 1st would be a really good idea. But AOPA has been kind of very, very hesitant to give us any date whatsoever. Even as far out as next December, they won't commit to it. So we've been discussing this. I already have possibly 8 flight instructors who are willing to participate. I also have a variation of FAA personnel interested, FAA FAST team interested, plus the Arizona Pilots Association, and I bet you I could twist the arm of the Tucson Soaring Club. And essentially, we're looking that we might be able to actually put together an entire day worth of seminars with multiple topics. Now, we would run them just like the AOP Rusty Pilots. In fact,
I'm going to hold on just a second. John's doing his job and telling me we're not allowed to talk about something that's not on the agenda. So what I'd like to do is adjourn the meeting and then continue the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. So
just for your information, if someone brings up a topic that's not on the agenda, then the board discusses whether they want to put it on the next agenda for the open meeting laws so that we can get notice out so everyone else can participate.
Gotcha.
So if it's not something that's board specific but more of an ancillary conversation, it's best we adjourn the meeting right now and you can continue your conversation.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'm going to adjourn the meeting of... No, I'm going to move to adjourn the meeting of the Ruby Star Board of Directors for February.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, time. The meeting is closed. It is 7:50. And now you may continue.
Okay, so anyway, what looks like could be done is that we could basically pull together a lot of different resources.